This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
We continue to break down yesterday's NFC and AFC championship games as we head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Steve Weisch, NFL Network, joining us here on the program. Steve, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Matt, I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for the time. And what an unbelievable weekend for the Patriots and the Eagles with their victories. But which game surprised you more on the outcome?
Oh, absolutely, the Vikings-Eagles. I thought it would be a far more competitive game because of their defenses and just the way the Vikings had been playing. But the way the Eagles just took them apart up front on both offensive and defensive lines and the way Nick Foles played was just fantastic. I mean, so that was clearly, you know, the more stunning, you know, game just because it was so one-sided.
We've got 2 weeks to break this thing down, so we're going to go into every little nuance. But are the Eagles, is the defense for the Eagles maybe one of the more underreported and talked about storylines from the NFL season, given how good they've been all year?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, they've gotten a lot of attention in terms of the defense, but, you know, I don't think people realize that every level of that defense is so good. People look at the defensive line with Fletcher Cox and some of those players, but their linebackers can run, and they're very, very physical. And the secondary, now, coming into the season, people were wondering who their cornerbacks were going to be. And their corners, Patrick Robinson, those guys, are very solid. They're very good at safety. I mean, Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Smith are one of the best tandems in the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, look, they're disciplined. Jim Schwartz is a fantastic defensive play caller, and they're going to give the Patriots some issues. I mean, the thing is they just cannot make a mistake. Jacksonville found that out the hard way yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, we talked to Patrick Robinson earlier in the program. His 50-yard pick six that put the Eagles on the board started that 38-0 run for Philadelphia in their win. It seemed like the link was looking for a moment to explode, and Robinson gave them the opportunity to do so.
He really did. I mean, that's playoff football. If you get, you know, a scenario that kind of flips things for your team to get the momentum behind you and you're playing at home, I mean, that's huge. It's just a huge situation. And it's one thing, for the most part, Patriots didn't get. I mean, the Jacksonville did not really let the Patriots fans get into this game. I was here last night, and so you didn't really see that much of that type of momentum swing like you saw in that Eagles game. And that was, again, that was the play that really fueled the fire.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get to the AFC here in just 1 second. But if you're the Vikings and you've got the question mark at quarterback, today Teddy Bridgewater is saying he's the quarterback. Case Keenum just took his team to the NFC Championship game. He didn't play particularly well, but he still got them there. What do you see the future for that position for the Vikings, and what would your opinion be as to what they should do?
It's going to be real interesting. You know, I'm hearing, you know, some folks, including some of my colleagues, saying that they may franchise him or he's going to earn a big contract. If he earns a big contract, I don't see it coming with the Vikings. I mean, I think they'll put a fair deal with him, maybe something in the $16.5 million. Remember what Mike Glennon got to be the guy in Chicago? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the type of number that they get, but it's not going to be a crazy number. I mean, they were ready to go to Bridgewater and to Bradford at different times this year once Bradford got healthy. So I don't think they're that committed, at least financially, to Case Keenum, where they're going to say, okay, we're going to give this guy, you know, a four-year, $75 million deal. I just don't see them doing that. So I think if he's going to hit the big payday, it's going to be somewhere else. If it's a marginal payday, I think he'll be back in Minnesota. But I know they love Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's a guy who comes back on a fairly respectable contract. He's a free agent. And if they lose Case Keenum, I think they'll go out and they'll just find another backup.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Steve, to the AFC and a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars players and coaches, well, I got coaches, but players and fans are angry at the officiating. They're pointing to the cleat Blakeman, tapping Tom Brady and giving him congratulations after the game. I think this is a whole lot of nothing, but I'm from Boston and I'm a Patriot guy. Is there something to the officiating as to how the game ended up?
Well, I mean, I don't think it swung the game that much, but I will say, you know, to me, the penalties were penalties. You know, the hit on Gronk, I guess you have to call that one by the letter of the league. But I don't know, you know, what much more that, you know, could have been done right there. Had the safety gone a little bit lower, Gronk could have been talking about a torn ACL. But the pass interference penalties, you know, I think those were legit. But the fact that you had the Gronk play, the head-to-head 15-yarder on Sportsmanlike, followed by a pass interference that let the Patriots get on the board right before halftime, that was kind of a momentum stunter for the Jaguars. And there was, you know, Mercedes Lewis, the tight end, felt he was, you know, interfered with twice on a couple third down opportunities that weren't called. But, look, anybody who plays up here in Foxborough, they're going to swear that the Patriots get some home cooking. Sometimes it looks like they do, but it's just part of what you have to deal with, and you have to play through it.
I didn't have a problem with the first half penalties. I could see the inadvertent whistle on the Miles Jack fumble recovery being an issue,
right.
But it was a bang-bang play. I'm glad they got the call right. I thought it was a fumble, but how can – I don't know how a referee in real time can see the football coming out like that and be able to say the ball was loose before Lewis went down, and yes, Jack recovered it before Lewis hit the ground, right?
Yeah, look, and we can make the argument had they ruled it either way. Had they said, you know, he didn't blow the whistle, he ran it in, he could have said, look. So, yeah, that was a bang-bang. Even on review, I can't see – you know, how they swung it either way, that being overturned. And it was just a tough play. It's a fantastic play by Miles Jack to go ahead and be that conscious, to go ahead and knock it out and pick the ball up. But, again, the fact that, you know, they ruled it down right there gave Jacksonville possession. They had time to score, and I don't think they took that in. So, you know, they can complain all they want, but they had opportunities.
Right. Steve Weiss, NFL Network, is our guest here on PTO. The end of half play calling. First, the punt back to the Patriots with 2 minutes and 2 seconds left, not running it down to the 2-minute warning was a mistake. And then taking a knee with 55 seconds and 3 timeouts was the opposite of what the Eagles did when they were up 21-7.
Yep.
And they pushed it and they got a field goal to go up 24-7. You know, are the Eagles, are the Jags going to look at that and go in the offseason and say, man, we were way too conservative?
Yes. I don't think it's going to take too. I mean, their offseason started last night, and I think that's about how quickly they found that out. Remember, you know, when you talk about not taking down to the 2-minute warning, they came out of a timeout and had a delay of game penalty, which backed them up and negated a situation where they could have got a possible first down and gone in to score. So that was an issue. And then they just showed no faith in Blake Bortles with those 55 seconds left. Just go ahead and take it a knee. You had plenty of opportunities to call 3 or 4 plays to get across midfield and to get a field goal opportunity, and they just, to me, they just showed no faith in Blake Bortles right there.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it sent a message to the entire team that they weren't really going to push it. They only scored 6 points in the second half, and they wind up losing it 24-20 to Tom Brady and Damian Amendola. The play of the weekend was the 3rd and 18 completion in my mind.
Yep.
I don't know how Brady got that done, but that was the play of the game, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they don't make that play, then they're forced into a difficult situation. You know, and I was in the Jags locker room post-game, and the secondary players were very upset because they started playing a lot of zone in the second half after playing almost exclusively man-to-man, which really makes no sense because Gronkowski was out of the game. Then you really man up, and you have significant advantages right there. But they said when they started playing zone, they know that's the secret for Tom Brady to get rolling. That's what happened. And a guy like Danny Amendola can find, any crease in a zone. And his hands are so money. You know, he just made that huge play. And then he made that great catch on the touchdown to seal it.
I don't know where you are on the GOAT conversation with Tom Brady, but I think the conversation's over now that Brady is back
it's
in
over.
The Super Bowl again. Yeah, right? Greatest quarterback ever,
over.
Right?
Go ahead. Yep, put the crown on him. You know, I know a lot of folks, and I was a guy for a long time, too. It was Joe Montana. But, look, Joe Montana played a lot of Hall of Famers. I don't think you're going to find too many of them ever for as long as Tom Brady has played with the Patriots who are going to be joining him in Canton one day. And 8 Super Bowls, and if not for 2 of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history by David Tyree and Mario Manningham, just think, he would already be having championship rings on the other hand. So, yeah. I think Tom Brady, he's a kingmaker, you know, and he is the GOAT.
To be fair, though, you could go back and look at the wins against the Falcons and the Seahawks and say, if a play goes 1 or 2 ways or if Marshawn Lynch gets the football, Brady may have another L on his record, right?
You could say that about a whole lot of things. You know, if Adam Vinatieri, you know, whiffs wide right a couple times.
Yes.
You could say that about a whole lot of things, but you know what? It didn't happen. I mean, the Seahawks didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. You know, the Falcons didn't take advantage of it, and the Patriots did. That's Mercedes Lewis said one of the most, you know, profound things, and I think it kind of articulates to every team that's lost a game like the Jags lost to the Patriots. He said, if we didn't have opportunities to win, the loss would be more palatable. But we had more opportunities to win, and we just didn't do it. And I think every team that swallowed a loss, a comeback loss to the Patriots, can say the same thing. They had opportunities and didn't take advantage of them, and TB12 did.
Steve, you guys got 2 weeks to break down Philly and Boston, two great football markets. It should be a ton of fun with the Eagles and the Patriots. Thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
That is Steve Weiss, NFL Network, joining us here on PTO here on SB Nation Radio. And that's an interesting line. We talked about that during the opening line about the zone coverage that the Jaguars were playing, and it really let the Patriots do what they had to do in the second half. And that was a big point that I made about the fact that, hey, it got you there. Playing zone is what Jacksonville really was good at, and then playing also some man-to-man, but they played mostly zone during the year. And so they had to, you know, go back to what they got, what got them there, essentially. But what got them there was a defense that the Patriots are extremely accustomed to ripping apart. Steelers and the Seahawks play a very similar style. The Patriots and Tom Brady rip apart that defense. Here comes Jacksonville playing a very similar style, and Tom Brady and Danny Amendola ripped apart that defense. Should have played more man, I would agree. But when you do that, Brandon Cooks goes deep. Chris Hogan goes deep. That's what the Patriots were doing in the first half. That was scaring the Jaguars and their defensive coaching staff. That the Patriots are going to hit on one of those or a defensive pass interference penalty like we saw in the first half. That's why they went to zone. It ended up burning them. More on both games next. SB Nation Radio.